pastor's read my passage that we're going to be looking at, and so you're already in John 21. If you're not, find your place there once again. And real quick, I guess pastor introduced my wife too. Brother, you did everything for me, all right? Anyway, we have traveled the road in evangelism now for about, it's been 10 years. This is year number 10 for our family, here, there, and everywhere. As the Lord opens doors, we travel also overseas. Our family was living in Nicaragua from January, February, and March because the very same thing I do here, we do overseas as well. You pray for me. Yo estoy tratando de aprender español. Yo necesito predicar mi español. I'm trying to speak Spanish. I'm learning Spanish at this time to continue this process to not only do exactly what I do in English, but also in Spanish. You think of it. You pray for our family. I'm going to mention probably a little bit more about that as we go through probably tonight or whatever. But this message, by way of introduction, I got to tell you about a hobby of mine, and it kind of in Luke talks about the direction we're heading, because I know by just reading the passage, you think I'm going to be challenging you about your love for the Lord. And though obviously that's going to be included, it's not the thrust here, the message. Let me tell you about my hobby. I know obviously people in ministry have different hobbies. You know, some people hunt, some people fish. Some people like golf. I tried golf after I went through two packs of balls. In the first two holes, I realized this is not my calling in life, and so I don't golf. I don't do a lot of things. Actually, I'm a very boring person, and for being a boring person, though, one thing that my hobby is tech. I love technology. Best Buy, I've been to nearly every one, actually. Every Apple store, probably been to every one, you know. The Super Bowl for me is coming up on September the 12th at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Actually, it's 10 o'clock on Pacific Standard Time, but it's the Apple keynote. They're going to release a new iPhone, you know. I'm the one who stands in line. I'm that guy. I know it's weird. You can rebuke me later and have pride preach on the way home. It's just me. I enjoy tech, right? I enjoy technology. And with that hobby that I have, I love to see different products that consumer electronics especially, that have literally changed the world, changed the way we think, changed the way we interact. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be so stubborn to say that the internet has not changed the world. Now, we might not like the change, but I mean, it's changed the way we interact with people. You know, it was in Stanford University in 1992. Got a couple guys inside the dorm room that created a product known as BackRub. What they're trying to do is take the internet and its vastness, well, before this time, and they were just kind of just very much, you know, futurist, but taking by 1996 and 1998 the internet and make it into a digestible way that the average person, consumer, could be able to gain information from it. In 1998, those same guys changed their name from BackRub to Google. And when you see Google now, there's undoubtedly, Google's changed the world. You know, Google, I mean, if you don't know what something is, well, what do? You Google it. It's a verb. I mean, it's so part of us. It's just what you do. I mean, who thought grown people walking around, hey, can you Google that for me? I mean, who thought that would be happening? But we do. Why? Because there's a product that changed what we think. Now, again, you may hate it, you may love it, it doesn't matter, it still changed the way we think, is this matter of social media. I mean, love it, hate it, want to burn it, want to, you know, crucify Mark Zuckerberg for starting Facebook, regardless how you feel, it's changed the way we think, it's changed the way we've done things. I mean, I can tell you what LeBron James had for breakfast yesterday on Instagram, you know what I'm saying? I mean, things that we never thought. Wow, we can see them because of these connections. You say, Adrian, what are you trying to say? Here's what. See, there was a problem that I believe we struggled with. I believe there's always been. I'm going to show you from Scripture this problem that we had. But it's now gone to an entirely new level by what we have availed to us today. It's what I'm saying. It's not the creation of a problem. It's the magnifying of a problem that we have. And I want to talk this morning about this little thing called comparison. Comparison. Before, you know, if we had a good day, you know, we took the wife out to eat, we went to a nice restaurant, and, you know, it'll be something different, but now what we do is, after we go to that nice restaurant, and after we do these certain things, we turn on our phones and begin flipping through and see that somebody else went to a nicer restaurant. Somebody else, husband went and did something even better. He got a dozen roses for his wife, you know. What I'm saying is now more than
new. Something new. But let's look here at this passage. Background real quick, because I want you to see it. I know you know the story, but I want you to put yourself in the place of Peter. All right? You know Peter before the crucifixion over here warming himself by the fire. As he's warming himself by the fire, remember somebody said, "Hey, I know who you are. You follow Jesus." He says, "No, I'm not." He says the second time, "No, I'm not." Third time, he adds an expletive to let people know he is not a follower of Christ. After he does so, you know that he catches eyes with Jesus Christ. As he does, he goes out and weeps bitterly. Now, we know that Peter has been crushed by what he has done. Imagine at the cross. We don't see they had too many words. They didn't have any words. So Peter still wants to talk to Christ. Christ rises from the dead. Absolutely blows their minds. They're in the upper room. Who comes walking through the room but Jesus Christ? As he does, he walks over and they have this talk. Remember, they thought he was a ghost and all those things that took place there. But as this was happening with Peter, have you ever had a situation where you needed to talk to somebody to clear the air, but you never had them one-on-one? You see what I'm saying? Like you saw them in a gathering, you saw them in a group, or whatever it is, and so you've never had time to talk to them. This is Peter. Could you imagine? He wants to clear this up. He wants to, that whole rooster thing, he wants to put this behind him. But then Jesus comes a second time. Remember, he comes a second time. How he comes a second time? Remember, he then shows up to Thomas. And then we see that the passage just read is Jesus shows up a third time. He's there. They're on the boat. Peter goes fishing. After he goes fishing, they're riding on the boat. They look out and they see that's Jesus. As soon as Peter realizes it's Jesus, he ain't waiting for the rest of the disciples. He's going to go and he is going to go see Jesus. His motivation, your guess is as good as mine. But you know he with passion went out and found the Lord. Now, Christ, they're having breakfast and have a little cookout. And Jesus and Peter have a one-on-one. They start talking. You know, I won't read the passage just read, but we have the passage about Jesus saying, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter exclaims three times how much he loves the Lord. In verse number 18, though, I do want us to read this. Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest, but then thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter turned about, see the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I would that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." All right, here we got. Yeah, so they're talking, right? Peter, do you love me? Yes. Peter, yes. Yes! You know, like, I love you! And Jesus keeps saying, follow me. And then Jesus does something interesting. He prophesies how Peter will die. Now, people say he's crucified upside down, whatever it is. But whatever Jesus said right there, it won't going to be pleasant, right? He is going to die. So Peter just hears this from Jesus. Okay, I'm going to die. Kind of hard to take there, you know, empty stomach, you know, I mean, oh wow, you know, and, you know, you're sitting there. Then as soon as he does, starts looking around. He sees John. What about him? He going to die too? You know, I mean, Jesus looks back at Peter. But what is that to you? What business is that of yours? If I choose that John stays here until I bring my kingdom, it doesn't matter to you. Your job is to follow me. You watch. We're going to look at what comparison does. In this passage here, comparison is a thief that takes so many things away from us that I want us to look at here just right after we pray here, all right? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what it teaches us. God, I pray that you would remove me from the scene, and Father, may you be front and center. Empty me of myself and fill me with thy spirit to say the things you'd have me to say. Lord, a very practical look at this matter about comparison. I truly pray that we will learn from Peter's life and get this understanding inside of our hearts of what you would have us to do. Lord, I pray, Lord, whatever the needs are here at Marquette Manor, Lord, that you would take beyond what is said, beyond what is done here, Lord, and would you multiply it exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We thank you so much for everything you've done and will do in Christ's name. We certainly do pray it all. Amen. So, you got to get out of your head that the disciples had halos walking around their head. You know what I mean? That the disciples had messed up problems just like each and every one of us. You remember they had the problem with, you know, who's going to be the greatest. And remember James and John, even mama getting involved, saying, which one of my boys is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You remember they had these issues of kind of going head to head. And if you look through the Gospels, Peter and John had a little thing going, you know, who's closer to Jesus, you know? Because Peter, James, and John were that inner circle. But you go through, and even the way they even seemingly speak to one another at times is Peter and John. So when Peter looks at all the other disciples, it is for sure intentional that he pointed out what's going to happen to John. Now, we're going to see the first thing comparison does in verse number 20. Then Peter turning about. Stop right there. Verse number 19. Before we read any further, Jesus, Peter, enjoy the moment of what you have. But listen, point number one. When comparison begins, contentment ends. When comparison begins, contentment ends. Peter, enjoy the moment. You're talking with Christ. He's not bringing up, hey, let's talk about that rooster thing now. Hey, now that you're here, let's go ahead and just... No. He's not bringing up that. Jesus is just having a one-on-one conversation. Peter, enjoy the moment. Enjoy that you have fellowship with Christ. But as soon as he realizes, I'm going to die, he looks over and he compares his situation. Hey, let me go ahead and let you know. You know the number one way to go ahead and kill any relationship? You know the quickest path to ruin anything special in your life? Go ahead and compare. You want to go ahead and ruin your marriage? Compare. You want to go ahead and ruin the relationship with your children? Compare. You want to go ahead and ruin your church, the relationship you have with your church? Compare. The quickest path to ruin anything special in your life is compare. You just simply look at this man, and as I begin to think through, we will talk about evaluation. We will talk about how to make ourselves better. But this is looking beyond us and thinking, I wish I didn't have to run my race, but I could wish I could run somebody else's race. You know what Jesus says here in this matter? Just like, look, it's not your business what I'm going to do with John. Your path, what you are told and commanded to do is follow me. Let's go ahead and give credit to where credit's due. You know, I haven't been traveling forever, but I've been preaching for 16 years, and I know that's not that long, but it's long enough to bounce from here, there, and everywhere and kind of get a little bit of litmus test of what sometimes happens in a lot of churches. Let me call it like it is. I think what the church is good at. The church is good at weeping with them that weep. I believe if right now I told you something that was burdening my heart, something that maybe a death in my family, or so I believe there'll be people who don't even know me, who just met me just moments ago, will come back to the back of that auditorium, and you will come and hug my neck, and you will try to console me. If truly that resonated with you, what I am burdened about, I just found out I had cancer, my mom just died, we weep with them that weep. But let me tell you, the church ain't good at it. We don't rejoice with them that rejoice. You know why? Oh, praise the Lord, I got that house. If you weren't working on Sunday, I bet you may not be able to get that house. Got a new car. Oh, really? I bet you leased it. What did Dave Ramsey got to say about that? You know, I mean, we can take anything special and ruin it by comparison. You know, you see the you can't miss the point here of comparison, because I always remember just hearing these different stories inside the Old Testament. And actually, right before I go to that story, let's keep going. Because I don't want to get ahead of myself. But in verse number 20, we see the first, when comparison begins, contentment ends. Totally negating the principle in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. Well, whatever the shepherd has for me, that's cool. Now, it might not be as green as your field, but my field, this is what the shepherd intended me to have. Now, let's keep going. Verse number 21 and 22. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Number one, when comparison begins, contentment ends. Number two, when comparison begins, listen, distractions begin. distractions begin. You know, in Matthew 20, I remember hearing that story about the guy who paid the people a penny. You remember that? You know, they went out. He went in the morning. Hey, you want to work for me? Yeah, sure. I'll give you a fair wage. Hey, noon, you want to go work for me? Yeah, sure. He goes out. And the evening time, hey, you want to work for me? They go out, right? So all these people are working for this guy. Then they all come back. They all line up, get their hands out. They got their hands out. He goes through them, pays everybody a penny. I always struggle with that story, you know? I'm a capitalist, man. That's socialism, isn't it? I mean, everybody gets a penny. Don't matter how much you work. Don't matter what you do. Yeah. I remember thinking to myself, like, come on. But see, here, don't misappoint the story. It's the faith in the master. You see, the one who is the giver of the gifts, the one who is the payer is perfect. The one who's the payer is our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear me. He may choose to give you something he ain't going to give to me. He may choose to give me something he ain't going to give to you. And you see, a whole lot of times the people wonder why. I ain't got that. They got that. I wish I had that over there. And so busy fighting about what they do not have and wish they had something that everybody else had. Everyone is distracted from their race. You know what your point is? The other thing is run your race. What God is called to do. And comparisons do nothing but distract. Now, okay, I sat on this for a long time. Studied this, looked at this. And it's hard because I always wanted to keep in my mind, what is evaluation? And then comparison. We always want to do better. We always want to say, Lord, speak to our heart. Okay, here's the difference. See, comparison is, I am running my race, right? And as I'm running my race, I see something that I can do, listen, to help me run my race. That's evaluation. That's evaluation to help me run my race. But with comparison, listen, I try to run somebody else's race. I try to do that which I am not called to do. You see, I gotta give an illustration, so I'm gonna pick on you ladies. Don't shoot me, all right? You gotta conceal, just hold on to it just for a little bit. Let me at least finish, then take me out, all right? But as far as sometimes it's like, yeah, man, you know, I'm sitting here all day, I'm like homeschooling these kids, and all I do is like cook, and all I do is clean, all I do is wipe noses, and you know, that's your race. That's what God's had you do. And so sometimes what happens is get on social media sometime and be like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Look at this lady who wakes up early in the morning. Hello, everyone. Let's get ready for a great day today. Let's do our exercise, yoga. Let's do it. I mean, they got all their plans of what they're doing. I mean, and they got like 1 million followers. And they're like, oh, I'm still in my pajamas. And it's like 10 o'clock a.m. And they're over there making like, you know, cheese souffle and chicken masala and all this other stuff. And we having sloppy joe and like peanut butter and jelly. And so I'm looking at myself and I think to myself, man, I'm just failing. That might not be your race. It might not be what God told you to do. What I'm saying is frustration so often comes when I try to run someone else's race. And now more than ever, we see everybody else's race. We can watch it on social media. We can watch as their videos go higher, 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 higher. They get more watch, click, 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 click. And we can see it. And we get distracted from our race. Now, this is happening to everybody. I pick on you ladies, happening to everybody. Now, I remember I was with a pastor, won't say the state or anything, but he said something I never forgot because it hurt my feelings. But he said, let me get some water real quick. I was preaching and just like anybody else, I would have preachers that I respect. Not like I worship them, but I respect them highly. Ones, I guess we would call, for lack of a better term, that are my favorite preachers. I mean, you understand what I mean by that, but it's people that I admire. And in conversation, I was talking with this pastor, and one of the guys that's probably within my top five, as far as that I admire, we have a relationship, he's my friend, God's used him mightily in my life. And I remember as me and the preacher talking, he said, did something to this effect. Adrian, now, I know, hey, bro, Adrian, you're a good preacher, but you'll never be like, and he called the guy's name. You know, well, thank you, brother. Thank you. That really blessed my heart, you know? I remember as he said that, it's like, man, it took me a while to shake that. It took me a while. You know, I'm not trying to be that guy. It's just, my goodness. I mean, talk about being put in your place, you know? I remember Then as preparing this, you know, I realized I'm not supposed to be him. It's not my race. God didn't call me to do that. You see, here's what happens. You got a bunch of people trying to do something that God never intended them to do, and they get frustrated and be like, oh, I don't have the strength. I'm just so tired. Well, maybe God didn't call you to do all that. Maybe he said that you just run your race. Maybe you just be faithful what I called you to do. I give you the strength for that. See, distractions always take place when I try to run someone else's race. So, comparison. Always, when comparison begins, distractions always begin. When comparisons begin as well, contentment always comes to an end. I must read this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. You can turn there if you like, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And then I have one more point, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Pastor said if I end early, get a better love offering. So let me shut this up real quick, all right? 2 Corinthians number 10, verse number 12. It says this, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Lastly, when comparison begins, wisdom ends. When comparison begins, wisdom ends. You see, this is how I had to go down, all right? So Peter, right? He looks over. So first off, instead of enjoying the moment of Jesus, the first thing he looks up and starts looking around. Bad problem. Stop looking around. Then as he does, he looks and starts asking questions. Well, what about John? Distraction, that's not your race. That's not your race, distractions. Then you have this. Jesus says somehow a rumor got started. Now there's only one person Jesus talked to. So there could only one person who started the rumor. So here's Peter walking around. He sees the rest of the disciples. Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, guys? Yeah, hey. Hey, did y'all hear about... Oh, you didn't hear about it? I mean, of course, because I'm the only one who heard. But, you know, yeah. Yeah, Jesus told me what's going to happen to me. I mean, I'm going to die. You know, I'm going to die. And you know the kingdom thing that we've been talking about? You know, Jesus bring the kingdom. You know that? Guess what? John's going to see it. I mean, I'm fine with what Jesus has for me in my life. I'm fine. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to go to the grave, you know, because that's what he said I was going to do anyway. So I'm willing to do it for him. But you know that John ain't going to die. Now, hold on. Why you got to be telling his business? Jesus never even said that. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I never even said that. But what you took from me saying what I told you is now you walking around telling everybody, John ain't going to die. John's going to be there for the kingdom. John, you know what happens? You know when distractions begin, your wisdom ends. You become dumb. You say dumb things. It's like wisdom comes to an end. See, here's what happens. Here's wisdom. Wisdom is always when you have wisdom in person's life, you can just know that thy word is truth. That truth is going to be in the center when there is wisdom in the house. But you see, when me gets in the middle of all this, guess what's going to come out? Nonsense is going to keep coming out. Now, here's what I mean. Let me give you an illustration. This is my sister-in-law's illustration. So she hears me on live stream. I'm giving her credit. You know, this is her illustration, but it's good. It's good, all right? Now, some people play different little games, like Angry Birds, whatever. I mean, every game seemed to have this little, debut, Before it was Angry Birds, and it was Bejeweled, and, what's that one that you play, baby? The bug one? What's the one called? That's fiends, yeah. I mean, like all these ones, I mean, they got these little games, right? Now, this is back in the day when Candy Crush was like everybody playing Candy Crush. I mean, Eric, the lady in the church would be like, I got one level up on you, I mean, it just was like, everywhere. Now, with Candy Crush, what she said, this is why it was so good. She said, what I did is I stopped telling people my score. I just stopped. Because what would happen is this. If you tell somebody your score, if you're higher than them, they'll be like, well, if I was addicted, I guess I'd get that level too. Smush thing all you do all day, all night. Play that dumb game, If their score is lower, they'll say, it's not as good as me, I mean, what can I say? I rule Candy Crush, man, You know what I'm saying? It's like, do you know what that does? Listen. I am the standard. It's about me. If you're more than me, then I will criticize that. You lower than me, we'll criticize that. If your kids don't do what my kids do, I'll criticize that. If you don't get involved in ministry as I do, I'll criticize that. You see, what I'm saying is, I am the standard. Wisdom ends when comparison begins. You know what's at the center of everything? Christ. Christ. You know what makes the difference? What's the compass going left and right and up and down and how my family ought to live? It ain't just because, well, so-and-so family do it. That's what, it ain't got nothing to do with so-and-so's family. It got to do with truth. You see, it had nothing to do with what they'd be doing over there or what they'd be watching. It had nothing to do with it. It has to do with truth. You see, when I become the standard, wisdom always ends. Now, this seems so canned because I'm preaching 3 points and here comes a poem, but here's a poem, okay? This says, the stick that I made for measuring, I use most every day. It helped me compare myself with others along the way. I watch all those behind me or further down the road, and I would just readjust my pace or lighten up my load. The only real drawback with how I ran my race is I was watching every single thing except my Savior's face. You know racers? I don't know too much about it, so go ahead, shoot me now. But I would think that they would have to focus on the road, don't they? And they get so worried out, what are they going to do? They're going to mess up. What I'm saying is, run your race. What consumes you to be the best what? You see, the cult, I call it the cult of er-er, cult of er. Some people really aren't necessarily too consumed with what doing all God wants us to do, but they are surely consumed with being better than what you are. As long as my car is faster than yours and my house is nicer than yours, and as long as that is greater than yours. You see, it's almost all the matter is, if you put me around, no matter what you put me around, I'm just going to be the best. Now listen to me, and this is going to go shoot me now, right? But just because I got employee of the year in my office doesn't mean that I now automatically am in a hard worker for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can excel in one area and be able to failure in another area. And what I'm saying is, so often, if just comparison is my drive, then I will be content to just say, well, you know, my wife calls me a lousy husband, but boy, do I bring home the bacon, you know. I might be lousy at this, but I tell you what, I surely do this well. If that is our motivation, if that is where we care about, and no, my friend, I mean, comparison is already begun and wisdom has ended because truth is always at the middle. Now, what consumes you more? I'm almost done. What consumes you more? Does it consume me more that what God thinks about me? See, here'd be a great litmus test for me. You know, when I wake up, hit going there in the morning, and I consume what God wants me to do, or I'm out there grabbing my phone. I wonder if I got any likes on my post. You know, put that photo up there yesterday. Someone still like, oh, well, she always likes it. It's no big deal. But yeah, I'm serious. Is that what consumes me? Is that what's like, oh, got to make sure that, you know, they see and make sure they know or whatever it is. Suddenly that's, now, my drive is to be better. To be the most, to be great. Run your race. Brother Adrian, my race is born. Run your race. But Brother Adrian, I don't get a lot of attention to my race. Run your race. Might look different. Might be not necessarily the one with the most accolades and has the most notoriety. But it's what God calls you to do. Can we bow our heads, close our eyes together?